The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get some
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
Ain't nothing. Jam-packed weekend full of wrestling and moves being made.
All right. And we're joined by the man who used to sit in that co-host chair every week. But now he's coming back in as this Rawcast special guest analyst, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. What's going on, Sam?
What's going on, everybody?
I'm good, man. And your time away from being on the Rawcast, you've turned into Mr. NXT. I'm so proud of you.
Well, think of it this way. There's two things to watch on Wednesday, and I refuse to watch that other thing.
Good to have Sam back.
Well, I'm glad that you could join us here on this edition of the Rawcast. But before we get into the Rawcast, due to scheduling, me and Ms. Jade Samatz could not do our weekly SmackDown Matter, so we're going to just do a quick rundown of SmackDown before we get into Monday Night Raw. We'll start with the four rounds of the draft. Drew McIntyre was first overall pick. He goes back to Raw, Roman to SmackDown, Asuka to Raw. And then our first shakeup sees Seth Rollins head to SmackDown. Then the Hurt Business is drafted to Raw, so that ends round one. In round two, AJ Styles is headed back to Raw. Sasha Banks stays on SmackDown. Naomi is headed back to Raw. Bianca Belair is coming to SmackDown. And Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, the Women's Tag Team Champions, are staying on Raw. So let's talk about round two there. Naomi coming over to Raw, Bianca Belair going over to SmackDown. A lot of people were hoping they would end up on the same brand so they could end up being a tag team and go after those tag team titles. So I'll get your thoughts first, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. What do you think about that switch, Bianca Belair coming over to SmackDown?
Well, if they knew they were going to do this, well, why did they run all those vignettes? It's just kind of weird.
Yeah. I guess they're just trying to get her name out there. I guess they're figuring that everybody who watches Raw watches SmackDown too, so it'll carry over.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese, your thoughts on Miss Bianca Belair headed over to SmackDown? Or Naomi headed to Raw?
Well, it seems as if Mr. MVP may be plotting on having a new addition to the Hurt Business. We'll have to see how that plays out when she returns, because she had surgery not too long ago. But we'll see how it plays out. He kind of looks like he wants to make his play to have her on the squad. So that'd be a good look for them to have a female representative on that team.
Oh, for sure. Since they have rejected Mia Yim in her several attempts at being a part of the Hurt Business, Naomi would definitely fit in great. Round three.
Why, is she too light skinned or something? Or what's going on?
No, it's just Shelton and MVP just be giving her a hard time.
Yeah.
Round three saw Ricochet stay on Raw. Jey Uso is going to stay on SmackDown. Mandy Rose, of course, is back on Raw. Rey and Dominic Mysterio are coming over to SmackDown, so Seth Rollins can't escape the Mysterio family. Miz and John Morrison are headed over to Raw. Then, and what caused the biggest uproar, I think, of the whole night, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods returning Xavier Woods, who captured the tag team titles on this episode of SmackDown. They're heading over to Raw, while Big E is going to stay on SmackDown. Dana Brooke, she's headed over to Raw. Otis is going to stay to SmackDown, and Angel Garza stays on Raw. All right, gentlemen, so the New Day has broken up without anybody officially having to turn on each other. Y'all with it, against it, or think that they could have handled it a different way?
From what I've been reading, I guess this has been something they wanted to have in the play for a long time. So I don't think I think the main goal was they didn't want to break up New Day. They figured if he was going to, they was going to get separated, they would just have it on both brands. And that's the main thing was Xavier Woods be back in the manager role, but he's back wrestling like he never lost it. So, I mean, it's cool. I mean, it gets Big E to focus on himself, and he'll have to rely on Xavier and Kofi to, you know, push him along and everything. He can do things on his own. But this did kind of cause an uproar within our hashtag, and then also the WWE hashtags as well too.
Sam, your thoughts on the New Day on separate brands?
I mean, I think Big E is ready for that singles run. Like he needs to stop doing that through the rope thing though. That's really cringy.
That's how everybody keep getting injured. They doing those, right. The big guys doing those through the rope moves. I'm like, I need to stop. But I also think they're doing a bit of foretelling because they did a happy birthday. The WWE did a happy birthday post to Dusty Rhodes, and they show pictures of when Big E and Seth won the NXT championship. So they could be telling a little bit foretelling those who might be linking up in the future. Mm.
Speaking of Big E, on SmackDown, he had a false count anywhere match with Sheamus. Of course, it ended up on the hood of a car. Big E hit the big ending through a table and got the win. Roman lays down the stipulation for Hell in a Cell match is going to be an I Quit match for the first time ever inside Hell in a Cell. So, y'all better get y'all flowers ready for Jey Uso.
Hey, at least this time we know there won't be a DQ in the Hell in a Cell.
It wasn't a DQ. That was just he just doing a towel just to have him.
No, stop. I'm talking about Seth. Was it Seth? Somebody was DQ'd in the Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, wow.
Total boo. It's the Hell in the Cell, for goodness gracious. What else we had? The return of Lars Sullivan.
Oh, why?
He came and attacked The Miz and Morrison, Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle after Jeff Hardy and Matt Riddle got the win in the tag team match. So Lars Sullivan is back. I'm sure everybody is so excited to see that. Bayley and Sasha had a women's SmackDown women's title match. Bayley, she hit Sasha Banks with a chair. That caused a disqualification so she could keep her title. But Sasha attacks Bayley after the match, tries to pilmanize her, but Bayley fights it off and escapes just as everybody comes up to restrain Sasha Banks. Like I said, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, they lose the tag team titles to the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. So Xavier Woods is back in his first night. He gets the tag team title win. Otis is going to have his legal matters delayed till this upcoming week. Sasha says that she wants to face Bayley at Hell in a Cell in a Hell in a Cell match. She promises to break Bayley and end everything about her. They announced that New Day will have their farewell SmackDown match as a trio when they face Cesaro, Nakamura, and Sheamus. And then our main event saw The Fiend defeat Kevin Owens with the Mandible Claw. Alexa Bliss and The Fiend stare each other down as we go off the air. So that was your SmackDown in a nutshell for this week. Lots of things happened. Trying to wrap up some loose ends before everybody moves on to the draft. It's like they have the draft and then everybody doesn't get on their new rosters for like 2 weeks because they got to try to wrap all the other stuff up. But that was a
remember when it used to be like right then and there.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody would be on the same show and they would have the shirts and everything out and it would be something totally different. But that was like, oh, we gotta wait. We gotta have farewell matches and stuff. I'm like, come on now.
So that was SmackDown. So we're gonna move to Monday Night Raw. Same deal. We're gonna start with the draft recap. First round, The Fiend is moving over from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw. Bayley's gonna stay on SmackDown. Randy Orton's gonna stay on Raw. Charlotte Flair is also going to stay on Raw. And the Street Profits are moving over to SmackDown. Round two sees Braun Strowman coming over to Raw. Daniel Bryan's going to stay on SmackDown. Matt Riddle is going to come to Monday Night Raw. Kevin Owens moves over to SmackDown. And Jeff Hardy comes over to Monday Night Raw. Now, you said that Matt Riddle is coming over to Monday Night Raw because he upset Seth Rollins. Was this the deal, Mo, to the underscore? Give me the scoop on that.
So, basically, I guess when Seth got drafted over to SmackDown, they was doing the watch-along. The watch-along that happens when you stream it through Twitter. They stream it through Twitter. I guess the guys who host the bump or whatever. So they was talking to Seth, and they was basically talking about new talent that he could wrestle. And basically, you know, Seth put over Big E saying he would definitely like to wrestle him. And then when it came to Matt Riddle, he said, I have no interest in wrestling Matt Riddle at any point in my career. So then come to find out, Matt Riddle's wife had made an Instagram post about skinny jiggly women on the main roster, and then it was and it showed like a picture of Becky Lynch, and then Matt Riddle was always constantly talking trash about how Seth Rollins sucked and he never really evolved his character and nothing like that, and saying he was better than him. So, you know, word got back around to Seth, and Seth really is just not. They really got heat with each other. So, hence that's why, that's probably why Matt Riddle was moved over to Raw, because Seth's not going to work with him. Although, you know, if we saw from history, if wrestlers really do have heat with each other, the story turns out much better. But Seth has no interest in working with them. So. That's what happens when people run their mouth.
Seth Rollins using the old stroke to get Matt Riddle up out the paint.
I probably wouldn't even say that. It was just kind of like how he kept talking about, Matt Riddle kept talking about Brock, and Brock, he walked past him and said, me and you will never share the same ring. You know, he said, Brock told him that straight up in the back and just walked away. So, you know. People they might want to see dream matches with, he's not going to get it because he just had this cocky attitude and he just rubbing people the wrong way. So it's not what happened.
All right. Round three sees Retribution drafted to Monday Night Raw. Lars Sullivan to SmackDown. Keith Lee to Monday Night Raw. King Corbin stays on SmackDown. And Alexa Bliss comes over to Monday Night Raw. Round four sees the returning Elias come to Monday Night Raw. Sami Zayn stays on SmackDown. Lacey Evans comes to Monday Night Raw. Shinsuke and Cesaro, they stay on SmackDown. And Sheamus is coming over from SmackDown to Monday Night Raw. Round five, we see Nikki Cross. She's coming over to Monday Night Raw. Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode are going to SmackDown. R-Truth stays on Monday Night Raw. Apollo Crews is coming back to SmackDown. And Dabo Kato from WWE Raw Underground fame is coming to Monday Night Raw. round six, we see Titus O'Neil staying on Monday Night Raw, Carmelo staying on SmackDown, Peyton Royce staying on Monday Night Raw, Aleister Black going to SmackDown, and last but not least, Akira Tozawa staying on Monday Night Raw.
Hey, Peyton Royce over Aleister Black. Wow.
I mean, you know, talent rises to the cream, rises to the top.
Poor Aleister.
So, anything that's jumped out at you?
You missed round seven.
What was round seven?
Lana.
Must have been after Raw went off. This must have been on Raw Talk.
This was on Raw Talk, but then they got other draft picks too. Lana's staying on Raw. Natalya's going to SmackDown. Riddick Marsh is coming to Raw. Well, staying on Raw because he's on Raw Underground. Riot Squad's going to SmackDown. And Arturo Ruiz is staying on Raw as well.
Okay. So some of the guys that they have built up on Raw Underground the past month or so, starting to get a little bit of shine now. I don't know.
There's more. Yeah. Billy Kay's going to SmackDown. Eric from the Viking Raiders will be staying on Raw. Tamina and Zelina Vega will be going to SmackDown.
Okay. So Zelina getting broke up from Andrade, huh?
Well, here's the thing. Andrade hasn't been
drafted, right?
He hasn't been drafted, and neither was Mickie James. They're the only two free agents left.
Oh, okay.
And then you still have a couple of people like injured, and you have like Jimmy Uso, Ivar, they're like injured. You still got Cena name floating around. Brock Lesnar. It was quite a bit of names that were still floating around. That was like they weren't Becky Lynch. They weren't like eligible to be drafted. They was just
you couldn't
touch them. Right. But Jimmy Uso might be on SmackDown because he's involved. He's going to be involved with that. With that Roman J storyline.
True. All right, so we're going to start Monday Night Raw. Randy Orton's music hits as they express how hot a commodity Randy Orton is. Orton claims that regardless whether he gets drafted or stays put, he will be taking the WWE Championship from Drew. Orton says 2020 was the year of Drew McIntyre, and until last Monday when he pinned Drew, Drew hadn't lost a pinfall in almost one entire year. If you listened to the Rawcast last week, Moten_Reese gave you that scoop. He's talking to Drew right now, and he wants to tell him that in 2 weeks, he will pin Drew yet again. He will end his legacy and take the WWE Championship from Drew, all by hitting him with an RKO. Drew cuts him off and comes out to congratulate Orton for being the first person to pin him in almost a year. There's a part Orton didn't expect. He was lying there, prone for a kick to the skull when Orton decided to gloat. Drew got back up and kicked Orton for everyone Orton screwed over, but at Hell in a Cell, it will be all for Drew. The biggest thing that caught his attention was that Orton might be drafted tonight, but Drew promised that every single time they're in the same building, Drew would kick the crap out of him, and he wouldn't want to break a promise. So Drew heads to the ring, he hits some rights, then kicks to Orton in the corner. Hit some right hands and a few more kicks. Orton kicks Drew and runs out of the ring. Drew traces Orton and Orton sends Drew into the apron, then hits an uppercut. We get a whip into the steps is reversed. Orton is sent into the barricade, then into the ring post. Chops to Randy Orton on the announce table. Drew grabs the head of Orton and chops him on his back. Drops him on his back on the announce table. Drew rips the sweater vest off of Orton and rolls him into the ring, giving Orton the opportunity to roll right back out of the ring and up the ramp. Drew hits the barrier that prevents the wrestlers from leaving the ring as Orton crawls up the ramp backwards. You know that imaginary buffer, right? So, opening brawl, Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre is losing a lot of steam rapidly. They can't get to Hell in a Cell fast enough, in my opinion.
Pretty much.
I think this, what was that, the Clash of Champions match, the ambulance match, should have probably been the end of it. With everybody coming back and getting that little bit of revenge,
yeah, that's usually like the payoff. That's the last thing in a feud.
Right, and they've kind of extended it over one more match.
When they did that, what happened that next Monday night, and I was like, are you serious?
We stopped that was that so dumb.
Put on some makeshift
what thing. Those look like goggles.
Yeah, they were goggles, because he was cleaning the floor.
It's like, oh my God, it's night vision glasses.
Yeah, night vision glasses. I'm like, oh, I'm here. No, you're not. Amazon.
You got those off of Wish.
Right.
Not even Amazon.
That's why I wish. That's how Wish gets you, though.
Yeah, you're like, oh snap! Look at them! Look at them big goggles. Wait, what is this?
First match on Monday Night Raw, Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black, no disqualification. Kevin Owens goes for a stunner. Aleister Black shoves Owens. He goes for the Black Mask, but Owens moves, and Aleister Black kicks the ring post. Kevin Owens shoves Aleister Black back into the ring, powerbomb through a table, and Kevin Owens gets the pin for the win. This was a very entertaining no disqualification match. Aleister Black hit the meteor to Kevin Owens through like six chairs positioned next to each other. Yeah, Kevin Owens' back took a beating in this match. But he was able to get a victory. They've been few and far in between for Kevin Owens lately since he's been dealing with The Fiend. So it was good to see him look strong here against Aleister Black.
And they'll take that to Friday nights.
Yep. The Miz and John Morrison are here. They talk a bit about the draft, and they talk about Miz having some connections with the USA Network. They move on to their guests, Mandy and Dana Brooke. Mandy tells Miz that he ruins people's lives. Miz says how? She's winning. She should be thanking them. They offer their backs for Mandy to pat. Mandy says she'd rather slap them in the face. Miz wants to get serious and asks Dana if Mandy is who she can trust as a partner. Look at what happened to Sonya. Miz brings up going for the tag team championships, but tonight they're in a battle royal to face Asuka. That's got to be awkward. Mandy says the only thing awkward is Miz and her being on the same brand. As far as tonight is concerned, may the best woman win. That's when Natty's music hits and they come out with Lana. She says, why is Mandy and Dana being interviewed when Natty is here? Dana tells them to go do a TikTok dance. Mandy says maybe they should be training a bit and they could win a match. Natty punches Mandy and we get a little tussle. Mandy spears Lana down as Dana corners Natty with some shoulders. Dana then hits a short clothesline to Natty and Mandy helps kick her out of the ring. So we're back. The Miz and Morrison, they have another segment as they claim they have another guest, his plan B, John Morrison. Morrison says it's an honor to talk about all the amazing things that he and Miz will bring to the table when they're interrupted by Lars Sullivan. Morrison and Miz look ready to attack. Lars rushes the ring. Miz leaves the ring. Morrison kicks Lars. Lars crushes Morrison with a tackle, then sends him into the corner and rushes with the clothesline. Miz pulls his partner out of the ring, but Lars stops him with an icy stare. Lars grabs Morrison and throws him across the ring. Then Lars hits Morrison with the freak accident. So they're really trying to make Lars Sullivan a thing, y'all. Again.
Well, he need to stay out of married women DMs. You know, yeah, that he gonna stay on him.
He just don't know how to act. Him and Velveteen Dream, huh? They just refuse to act like they know how to act, huh?
Austin Theory in that mix too.
Still? But,
well, from the past and everything. Okay.
All right. I thought they had some more recent transgressions, like afterwards, like Velveteen Dream allegedly.
Again?
Soon, right after, it was like, you know, apparently some more stuff was researched.
Yeah, like basically every time he appears on TV, somebody else comes out.
And he's saying Triple H not looking hard enough. I'm like, I guess.
Backstage, Adam Pearce explains to the Street Profits and New Day that the most logical solution, since the one team was the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, they're coming to Raw, now the Raw Tag Team Champions are going to SmackDown, is they just simply exchange titles. In comes Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler saying that the Street Profits get to run SmackDown before they get what they're rightfully owed. They deserve a shot at the Raw Tag Team Champions. Kofi and Xavier Woods offer a Shakespearean style ass kicking later tonight. Now, a lot of people were upset that they did a jersey swap for the titles. But what else were they supposed to do? They're not going to unify the titles, so it doesn't make sense for them to wrestle.
I'm just saying, just a match or something, you know, just something fun, you know, but I guess we just have to, they do the title exchange. Here you go.
That was really the only logical thing they could do in this case.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it wasn't like they, like I said, unless they're going to unify the titles and have,
which they should do.
They should, but they're not going to at this particular time. Then, you know, what do people want? Maybe you could have got the champions versus champion match at SmackDown. I mean,
maybe they really wanted to see the Raw titles on SmackDown and the SmackDown titles on Raw. Who knows? That would be silly, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
It was like 48 hours. It was like, oh, no, we don't have any champions. Well, 72. We don't have no champions, no tag team champions on SmackDown.
Or they could have forced them to defend it on SmackDown until they lose it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so.
But that's just a bit much, I think. This was way easier.
Exactly. Seth Rollins is here. He wants to soak it all in for a minute. Tonight is the end of an era. He understands how difficult this may be for the fans of Monday Night Raw. We're losing a lot. We're losing a champion, a man who has slayed beasts, conquered monsters, a purveyor of the greater good. Most importantly, we're losing the greatest leader in the history of Monday Night Raw. He wonders if there's anyone that can fill the void. Unfortunately, no. Who will step up? He knows who it won't be. It won't be Dominic or Rey Mysterio because they're on the blue brand along with him. Seth doesn't want to end his reign here. Seth is then cut off by Jeff Hardy. Seth tells him to get the hell out of his ring. Jeff tells Seth that he's a SmackDown superstar now, so in a way, it's kind of Jeff's ring. Seth understands Jeff wants to say bye, but he should be focused on his match this Friday with Lars Sullivan. Good luck, pal. Seth leaves the ring. AJ wonders how Jeff got to the ring, then tells Rollins that he needs to keep it stepping because this was never Monday Night Rollins anyway. AJ tells Jeff that he's the footprint and he doesn't fill anyone's shoes. Seth was insulted. He doubles back. He comes back to argue with AJ. Jeff swings through the ropes to kick both of them. Jeff sends AJ into the steps, then uses the prone AJ to hit Poetry in Motion onto Seth. Flying clothesline to AJ Styles. Jeff grabs the mic and challenges AJ and Seth to a triple threat tag team match next.
I'm like, sir. I was like, what are you going to do? You going to get a partner? You going to get partners and y'all going to go at it in the ring? Come on now.
He's a little excited, man. It's the first time he's back on Monday Night Raw in a while. Got caught up.
He got caught up in the that emotion.
Sam, did you like the Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn series of matches? Did you enjoy the ladder match from Clash of Champions?
The ladder match was good. I really liked the ladder match, but like all the rest of their just random SmackDown matches and stuff, yeah.
Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. AJ picks the leg of Seth for the calf crusher. Swanton to Seth. AJ steals the cover for a two count. Seth rolls to the outside. AJ grabs Jeff. He goes for the Styles Clash, but Jeff reverses into the Twist of Fate. That's when Elias comes out of nowhere to crush Jeff Hardy with the guitar. AJ looks at Elias, unsure of what to do. Then he covers Jeff for the 1-2-3.
So Elias is back to being heel.
It looks better on him anyway.
Yeah, but he's blaming Jeff for that whole incident on SmackDown, but I think Caleb was trying to convince him that it wasn't. He's like trying to say, I know who hit me. I know who has red hair. And I'm like, Sheamus, anybody? But I guess.
Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke versus Lana and Natalya. We get a knee to Lana, Dana to the top of Mandy's shoulders, a senton, and Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke are your winners. Natalie goes to Lana in the ring and breaks up with her, saying that this isn't working out anymore, and she is done.
I'm surprised she broke up with her in the ring and not like on TikTok.
That would be funny.
Backstage, the Hurt Business talks about Retribution knowing what was coming. Ricochet comes up to them all by himself. He wants one last match. MVP wonders if he's retiring. Ricochet says, yeah, he's retiring this. He says he might be on Raw. He says he might be on Raw alone because Apollo might get drafted, which he did, to SmackDown. He says it does nothing for them to be coming for his head. He says if he wins one last match tonight, then they squash their beef and they go their separate ways. But if they win, Ricochet will join the Hurt Business.
Interesting. So they're trying to, it seems like they're trying to make it like when Ahmed Johnson was forced to join the Nation for like a month and then disappeared.
Andrade versus Angel Garza. Zelina Vega is at ringside. They both end up on the outside. Andrade tells Zelina this is for her. He goes for the DDT, but Angel escapes, sending Andrade into the apron. Garza enters the ring. He hits the wing clipper. He says that was for Zelina. He covers Andrade for the 1-2-3. Now, I don't get it. 2 weeks ago, she was done with them. They couldn't do nothing for her. They were holding her back. She's a winner. Now, this week, 2 weeks later, she's holding commentary on their match and clearly concerned about Andrade after the match. Because she goes to check on Andrade in the ring, but it appears that her shit-talking about Alexa on commentary is getting ready to come back and bite her in the ass. Because the lights go out, they flicker red, they come back on, and Alexa is doing the upside-down Bray Wyatt spider walk in the corner. The Fiend then pops up behind Andrade. Alexa grabs Zelina. The Fiend grabs Andrade. And we get double Sister Abigail's from The Fiend and Alexa Bliss as we go to commercial break, and The Fiend says, let him in. We are progressing the Alexa Bliss story with The Fiend.
Yes, I was hoping that this would at least lead to a story between these two, but I forgot that things happened and they got drafted. Well, Zelina got drafted to SmackDown and Andrade is still in the limbo. So it's like, what do we do?
I think Zelina's problem was more with Angel and his Lothario ways and stuff like that. And plus the fact that he wouldn't focus on the match.
Right.
So I think that's where that is right there.
Okay. How do you feel about Alexa and The Fiend?
I mean, it's kind of silly just because, like, she just looks like she's not into it at all. Just, I don't know. She's either that or she's just not a very good actress. But, I don't know. I mean, it's something different.
The New Day versus Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler Raw Tag Team Championship match.
Kofi slowly crawling and reaching.
Gotta make a tag. Gotta get to the corner. Ziggler makes the tag to meet Xavier Woods.
Xavier Woods fresh taken out.
Xavier. Very smart. Takes away the tag option of Roode. And now Ziggler down to the mat. Oh, kick right to the midsection. Oh, now Roode inserts himself into this equation. Boot right to the face. Oh, the honor roll. Haven't seen that in a while. It's good to see it. Now Xavier Woods dumps Ziggler rather outside the ring.
Between SmackDown and Raw, we have seen no ring rust on Xavier Woods.
Oh! 2-for-1!
And Xavier Woods is rolling.
And you gotta be rolling. You gotta be fired up. The Raw Tag Team titles are on the line.
Woods, DDT to the legal man. Now the cover on Ziggler. Kick out.
Look at the power. Look at the power from Woods.
Wow.
Great power.
Oh, wait a minute.
Went for some offense. And now it's Ziggler responds with a DDT of his own. Shoots the half into the cover. Tucks the arm. In the titles.
Come on, Woods. That's it. Come on.
And a kick right to the back of the neck. Robert Roode thought he had an opening, and now Woods has a chance to make a tag.
And that could have been a saving grace for Xavier Woods.
All right on time. Kofi Kingston on the apron. If Xavier, oh, no, 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 no.
Not so fast.
Dolph Ziggler taking Kofi off the apron.
Oh, nice. Kofi caught himself.
Whoa. Oh, and wipes out Ziggler on the outside. And now Kofi Kingston trying to get himself back in position for a tag.
There was a tag.
The official says yes, and Rude didn't see the tag.
Rude found out the hard way.
Up to the top. Oh, man. The midnight hour. Cover. New
there we go.
The tag team titles.
Here are your winners. And still, the Raw Tag Team Champions, the New Day.
Hold up. Didn't Kofi and Xavier do was the midnight hour? I know they have like different, it was different finishing names for when whoever was in the match.
Well, I thought it was the like assisted DDT off the ropes. I thought that was the midnight hour, like when Big E would hold them and then Kofi would come off and do like the DDT. I thought that was the midnight hour.
Oh, okay.
It's like a spike pile driver with one of them like on the top rope.
Right. So I don't.
Yeah, that's why I was just thinking because I was just like, we said midnight. I was like, wait a minute. It was like, isn't that what they do? But I don't know.
Backstage, Charlie runs up on Elias. she wonders what's going on. Elias says that this was payback. Everyone has forgiven Jeff Hardy, but not Elias. He won't forget that Jeff hit him with the car. Charlie brings up that Jeff wasn't necessarily responsible. The suspect is still unknown. Elias says no, he won't be forgiving Jeff. A car won't stop him. Call him a legend, the rock icon. He is Elias. Being the great musician that he is, he spent his downtime searching his soul and wrote what might be his magnum opus. His new album, Universal Truth, will be available to the world. He says next week we will celebrate with a concert and it will be unforgettable, especially for Jeff Hardy. Then we get a recap of last week when Ali was revealed as the leader of Retribution. Then that brings us to Cedric Alexander versus Ricochet. Cedric with the Michinoku driver pinned for a two count. Cedric lands on the ref. MVP slides the chair into the ring. Ricochet stops the chair. He waits for the ref to get back up. Ricochet then slams the mat with the chair. Ricochet throws the chair to Cedric and then faints a la Will Smith. The ref turns around. He sees Ricochet down with Cedric holding the chair, and he calls for the disqualification. So Ricochet is your winner, and apparently the beef with the Hurt Business is officially over. The way he fainted was hilarious.
Wait, how did that match end? What happened?
He did the Eddie Guerrero.
Hit the chair and toss the chair to him and then
Ricochet.
Oh, okay, so he doesn't have to join the nation, huh?
No, he doesn't have to join the Hurt Business, no.
Well, yeah. But it was just funny that the fall that he did, and we're like, sir.
It's the most entertaining thing Ricochet's done in the last 6 months.
Ricochet really needs to something. He needs something. He's just not. Yeah, maybe like one that looks like a puma, and maybe he can be like royalty. Like maybe he could be a prince. He's just missing. He has the skill. He just doesn't have the oomph.
No, it's just funny that John Morrison posted a happy birthday, photo of him. And up to Ricochet, and it's showing those two just battling in Lucha Underground. And Don was like, And Don was like, I wish they could be this way over here in WWE. I was like, yeah, that would be interesting.
Yeah, man, Johnny Mundo and Prince Puma, man, they had some freaking unforgettable matches over in Lucha Underground. And then to know that those two guys are now in WWE and the way that they're being presented, it's just so far to the left of what you got from those two.
I don't know. It's just like he really was better as a silent character. I mean, now here I'm talking, I'm like, is that AJ Styles? I mean, he is from Kentucky, you know, I understand that, but come on, it doesn't fit the look. It's just like, you see him and you're like, well, okay, maybe he's going to have some kind of, I don't know, not quite Punishment Martinez, but like a little bit of bass in his voice. No, he's like, MVP, I'm coming to get you.
For those of you who are confused about who is Punishment Martinez, that would be AKA Damian Priest.
Hey, is mama naming them Punishment? I'm going to call him Punishment.
That brings us to the main event of the evening, Raw Women's Battle Royal. The winner gets a title shot against Asuka. Before the match starts, Nia Jax tells all the girls to just jump over the top rope so she doesn't have to send them over herself, make her night easy.
I like that. That was fun.
Then Nia sends Tamina out of the ring. The rest of the girls, they try to eliminate Nia, but Shayna is the one to help send Nia over the top rope. Nia is pissed, of course. She clears the announce tables of the TVs and the tabletops. Lana is ringside, so Nia grabs her, and bam, Samoan drop on and through the table. Bianca grabs Shayna Baszler and eliminates her. Then Ruby helps Liv to kick Bianca off the top rope, eliminating her. The final four are Natalya, Lacey, Liv, and Ruby. Lacey and Natty eliminate Liv and Ruby respectively. Lacey with the head scissors, but Natty holds on and swings Lacey into the ring post from the apron to eliminate her. But Lana, who was never officially eliminated, comes into the ring and shoves Natty off the ring apron. And Lana is your new number one contender, and she's going to get a title match against Asuka. Unlike WWE, I did not break up the review with talk of Drew and Randy Orton fighting in the
back. Did they come out to interfere?
No, they came out.
Interfere, but they came out during the segment, right?
At the very end, Drew and Orton fight from the crowd to the ringside, beating each other down.
Orton that was like the second. It was in both, like in the beginning of the Battle Royal, they was fighting in the back, and then at the end, they came out at the end fighting. And I'm like, that's way disrespect to women. Come on, man.
Yeah, they broke him up, and Drew basically screams at Randy, "See you next Monday."
Hey, where's Keith Lee been?
He's scrapping with Braun Strowman. They about to take this to SmackDown on Friday.
Okay, now did he get drafted to SmackDown?
Yes. No.
Okay.
No. He's on Raw. They're coming to Raw. Excuse me. Braun's coming to Raw. So this is Raw next week. Excuse me. Thank you, Maurice.
Yeah, I was like confused. I was like, well, I mean, I haven't really been watching like all the time, but I've been turning it on lately, and it's just like I don't see Keith Lee.
That's
the
Keith Lee imposter, sir. That is not the Keith Lee we know and love.
So we're not basking in his glory?
We definitely aren't. Okay. They're not even basking in the glory because they changed his music. And it's awful. They got him wrestling in like a singlet and a t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not doing any of the high-flying big man stuff that we got.
They came up on SmackDown.
Right.
And the roster, they weren't doing none of that.
Yeah, they just got them being regular old, just plodding WWE big guys. Like, oh, man. Could have stayed down in NXT and waited for Karrion Kross to get well for all this.
Yeah.
Because they need a rematch. But, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird that they just brought him up out of nowhere. Like, he didn't even have the belt for that long, you know, like for like less than a month, didn't he?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. It was just a weird time with the COVID and everything going on that people were dropping out, people were getting hurt. And
who's still missing? Positive. Who's still, like, who went away and hasn't come back yet? I feel like there's somebody that we're just not thinking about.
Besides Charlotte. That's really it. Just about everybody is back. Sammy is back. He was.
Because I know for a minute the roster was like paper thin.
Yeah. For the most part, everybody's back. Roman's back.
Well, Daniel Bryan's not back yet.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan's not. That's because Daniel.
I like how Tiffany called him a B-plus player again.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's because Daniel Bryan is backstage writing SmackDown.
Yeah, he's on the writing team, isn't he?
Yeah. And you know how I could tell? Because in the Falls Count Anywhere match, there's a part where Sheamus was looking for some shit underneath the ring, and Big E came up behind him and taped his ankles together, a la Yano from New Japan, and that's only Daniel Bryan watching in G1.
Okay, I thought you were going to see that he choked him with a tie.
No, no. No, Daniel Bryan been watching G1 and stole that Yano bit.
Have you been watching the G? You've been watching the G1, right?
I have, man. I just wrapped up day 12. Okada finally had a freaking good match.
I kind of dropped out momentarily because the English version wasn't coming out live. Right. And it was like I had to wait a day or two to hear it, and it just kind of really, really messed up the flow for me. I know it's back now, isn't it?
I've been listening to the Japanese commentary because I like the excitement.
See, I like it, but like I'd like to know what's going on. I actually like it, but it's just like I miss out on so much.
Yeah, it's difficult right now for Rocky and Kevin Kelly because they're basically recording it from home, so it's hard for them to like do it. I guess they could do it live, but you know they'd have to wake up in the middle of the night. They'd have to have like a production staff ready to go at, you know, 4:30 in the morning or whatever, but so they've been having kind of delayed.
That kind of messed me up, and it was just like I was like, wait, what day is it, what show is it, what's going on, where's the English, what's happening?
What else have you been taking in?
I was looking at ROH for a minute. I got the ROH Honor Club. I just kept on seeing Frank Thomas. I mean, do you get the joke? A lot of people don't get that joke.
How is Jay Lethal and
I watched the first round. I watched Lethal and
Jonathan Gresham.
No, not that one. I only watched that one. The one before with the boys. The guy who used to be with the boys. I forget his name right now.
Okay.
Dalton Castle. I watched that. That was a really good match.
Is Dalton Castle like back to 100% healthy?
I mean, he was
banged up like real bad really? Last time I watched him wrestle. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched that one, and I watched the first two episodes, and then I haven't been able to watch it again because I got so busy with other stuff. I haven't even been checking out Impact lately, which they actually got okay for a while, but then they brought back the Motor City Machine Guns, and I was like, why?
Doing the Lord's work over there, you and Motet underscore Reese keeping up with that Impact.
I've just been watching the pay-per-views. I ain't tuning in on Tuesday nights. I'll read the results and everything, but I haven't really been...
anything else that's caught your eye?
Yeah, well, that was really it. I mean, other than that, just the usual stuff. Even NXT is boring again.
How'd you think? Well, they brought your girl back, Ember.
Oh, yeah.
Spiced it up a little bit.
That was hilarious. He was like, I know that walk anyway.
No, did you see me tweet that?
I saw y'all talking. I was like,
they did a good job trying not, they did a good job hiding her height. Mm-hmm. Because like the way they shot her, with the way they angled her, you couldn't tell that she was tiny. But like she started walking, I was like, oh, that's in her mood.
You didn't like? Did you like the takeover?
I don't. You know what? I don't even remember.
Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, main event.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
Yeah.
Candice LeRae, I've really never been able to get into her.
Damian Priest, Johnny Gargano.
Damian Priest did a good job. Johnny's been kind of wearing on me lately. He's just like, I really don't like that character. And the whole thing about like at home with the Garganos, that's kind of, it's like, why?
Really, I guess Indy Hartwell, that's her name is, she's going to try to be down with them because she included a USB of her saving Candace in the Royal Rumble, in the Battle Royal.
She sent them a TV, didn't she? With the last.
A TV with the USB saying, hey, watch this.
Man, you have to send them a whole TV.
Right.
And Swerve versus Santos Escobar for the Cruiserweight title. Did you get a chance to see that?
I might have, but I have to be honest, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah, okay. That was probably next to the main event match of the night.
Pretty much. People were saying that was even better match than O'Reilly and Finn, but
No way. There's no way.
I mean, they might have took it back to Lucha Underground days, you know, with those two, but, you know.
What was his character? What was Santos Escobar? He was the hunter.
No, he was King Cuerno.
Yeah, King Cuerno. That's why I could not think of his name for
because I was like thinking, I was like, wait, I think that's King Cuerno.
Yeah, it's King Cuerno. And Swerve was Killshot.
Yeah. So, folks, if you keep referring to Lucha Underground, it's for a reason, because these people were left to do their own devices and they put on some killer matches as these alternative personas that WWE has yet to really fully tap into. But
I still want Dario Cueto on WWE.
Yes, me too. I definitely would like to see it just pop up and just. In NXT or something like that, just have him sign him and just have him as a mastermind. That would be so great.
Really, like to be honest, I really want to see Dixie as like the Raw GM.
Now that, my friend,
I really want to see that.
Revelation.
Like, she's done interviews with them, like for like the DVDs and stuff like that, for like, you know, like Sting and all them, all the people that were there in TNA. So she's appeared on WWE television. Hey, did they drop the Joseph Park thing with AJ Styles?
Yeah, it was just for a couple of weeks.
Oh, man, that was so... That man, Joseph Park is so good.
I didn't know how much he looked like Jim Ross.
Man.
No,
that's pretty much it.
Is there anything on the other Wednesday night program that you were at least keeping an eye on?
Oh, the other show?
Yeah.
Nah, I just listened to our pal Jim Cornette review it, and it's just like, my God, I'm glad I don't watch that crap anymore.
They still got some heat. I guess Jericho was saying Jericho said something about offering him a consultant job or something like that.
Oh,
if he pulled his head out of his ass.
Yeah, if you listen to the latest episode, like Cornette addresses it.
Jim Cornette's already told you why he wouldn't come on over there. He's already said it 1,000 times.
I do like the Cornette's description of Tony Khan. He says, "You look like a seal peering through a block of ice."
he don't get down with the Young Bucks, and he don't get down with Kenny Omega. And as long
he was mad at FTR.
Oh, for what?
Because they were involved in some. Oh, they had a match against Angelico and.
The hybrid 2.
He didn't like all the diving around that they were doing, and he's like, "Boys, I'm gonna give you some free advice. If they tell you I'm gonna dive on you, you say no, no, you're not. And if they persist, you move out of the way." he called them a comedy act now, which is like, wow, those are his boys.
Well, that's what they were on that tail.
Yeah, toward the end of their WWE run. Yeah,
that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Nah, I thought they're more serious than that. Jim Cornette just has a, you know, he likes that they make everybody slow down and don't do as much dive. So I guess he figured that this was kind of counter to that formula that they've been kind of successful with.
Right. Yeah. Like, what was I looking at? There was a match that I actually did check out, because like I do like FTR. I think they won the titles, right? They beat Omega. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I did watch that. That was at the pay-per-view, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. I watched that. That was pretty good.
So, anything else you'd like to talk about before we turn it over to shout-outs and thank yous?
If all was on the WWE Network, y'all should check out Drew Galloway versus Matt Riddle. It was right before Drew McIntyre came back. It was like, I think it was his last match. One of his last matches. He put Riddle through a table ugly.
Was that on Evolve?
Yeah, Evolve. Yeah, it's on the network now.
Oh, okay.
I even have the gif of it somewhere. Because, like, man, it was ugly. It was brutal looking.
But one thing I wanted to say was, I guess next week will be the 20th anniversary of the whole Who Hit Stone Cold angle.
My God.
So here's the crazy thing I just thought about. Rikishi was in that whole storyline and everything. He fought, and I went back and watched that pay-per-view. And I was like, wow, this is really crazy. But and it was this kind of thing, like 20 years later, his son is involved in a high-profile championship match with their family, with his cousin, and how Rikishi was working with The Rock, you know, saying he did that for The Rock or whatever. So it's like playing it forward 20 years. I don't think it was a coincidence, but, you know, it was just like, hey, 20 years later, we have the family, we have the sons and the cousins and nephews, whatever, they battling out.
Right.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Are you a fan of that storyline right now, Sam?
Yeah, that's actually pretty cool. You know, that I hear that's Paul Heyman's doing.
Of course. Who else could generate such interest and such heat and animosity from a storyline out of WWE in 2020 besides Paul Heyman, man?
Right.
When you get kicked off your show and you have to and you go back to the manager role. That's probably why Apollo Crews came over, because, you know, Heyman, he did have an ally in Heyman and everything.
Street Profits, too. He was trying to get all the young black people up and running.
Oh, yeah. He was the one who was making all these, during that weird period. That was all him.
Yeah.
Like, during that period where it was, where Andrade and Angel and them were the main event every week, and they appeared in 10 segments in any show. Yeah, that was all him.
And AJ got mad because of the whole his boys got released. It was like, you could have did more.
Yeah, AJ got the heck up off of SmackDown as soon as Paul got over there. Yep. Too.
He was like, nope, I'm out.
So
they like, trade me.
But yeah,
so he got traded for Dolph and Rude, right? He got traded for Dolph and Rude originally, right?
I think so.
And then now they're going back. It's like a double swap. They're going back to SmackDown. AJ's going back to Raw. I'm like, come on now.
Did you like the reveal of Carmella and her new...
Why? I mean, I mentioned this on Twitter. Why does WWE insist on pushing this character on people who it doesn't work? They tried it with Eva Marie. They tried it with Emelina. They tried it with Lana. And now they put it on Carmella. It's just like, why? Stop.
Well, if Eva Marie is rumored to come back.
she was even posting something about you guys should watch Raw tonight. I'm like, yo, shut up.
Toni Storm and Eva Marie? Oh, man. Blue skies are shining on me.
Just and your girl Peyton, she's going to be on SmackDown, so she'll be real happy.
Peyton and Kayla Braxton on the same show? Oh, yeah.
You ain't gonna know what to do. They'll let me backstage interviewing, she being interviewed backstage by her.
yeah, it'd definitely be some high intensity moments when that happens for me, because those are two of my favorites there. So Sam, it's great catching up with you as always. Did y'all see what happened to Ridge Holland on NXT?
Yeah,
he blew out his knee and hurt his ankle. He almost had a Dak Prescott level ankle injury plus the blown out.
I didn't even see that game, but I heard about that.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty, man. He was scrambling, and you know, when you get out in the open field and quarterbacks, they go down weird, and the guy kind of grabbed him, and his leg was kind of behind him, and the dude, when he tackled him, put his weight down on his leg, and his ankle went the other way.
And they showed it, and they had to show it.
Well, when he came up, he was holding his calf he had a cramp, but his foot was going the wrong way. So then, you know, once the referee was like, get some help over here. And as soon as they start running on the field, they go to commercial, of course.
They throw up the X.
Yeah, basically. Basically. But yeah, that's definitely what happened to Ridge Holland. So he's got a little bit of Tegan Knox luck. Right when he starts getting in a big spot, he gets a major catastrophic injury.
So. Karrion Kross as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what the future holds for Ridge Holland.
I heard it was compared to the Scott Putski break. I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, I don't remember Putski. But
okay, yeah. Ground Zero 97. I remember these things. I don't know why. I might be weird. Ground Zero 97, you know, the show where Bret Hart versus the Patriot?
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
One of the opening matches was like Brian Christopher versus Scott Putski, which is the son of Ivan Putski.
Right.
Brian Christopher. I know this specifically because he's like the first person to ever be announced as from my hometown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because he's from here. I used to watch him wrestle back in the day. Yeah, he came out. Brian Christopher did one of those goofy dives on him, and he fell back and got the Sid.
Oh, really?
His bone was like sticking out of his. Oh, he looks so ugly.
Mm.
That's what they said. That, that's what they compared this one to, this Sid getting hurt. Sid,
yeah.
Nothing's worse than Sid getting hurt, though, man, because his joint snapped like a dang on popsicle stick. That was pretty bad. Did y'all watch the Kurt Angle Stone Cold after Clash of Champions, the Broken Skull Sessions, where Kurt Angle talks about the 57 times he's broken his neck since the two times he broke his neck in the Olympics?
I did not.
Oh, yeah, man. He talks about how Brock Lesnar like threw him into the turnbuckle, and he did like a whiplash and broke his neck in the match where Brock did the moonsault. Then he talks about how, you know, all those neck breakages led to the, you know, peel angle or whatever.
Oh, wow.
And then yeah, he talks about that. He talks about basically like just being crazy, just being gone on them pills, being crazy. Like he said that he was dealing with like a back injury, a groin injury, a quad thing. And he said he came to TV one day and just dropped his pants in front of Vince and everybody just to be like, look, this is what's going on with me. This is why I'm so irritable. This is why I'm so aggravated. So, but yeah, he was just talking about like, you know, how many pills he was doing and you know, how easy it was to get prescriptions and all that stuff. And, you know, just how off the rails he was.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Stone Cold's a very good interviewer, especially when it comes to, getting guys to feel comfortable enough to talk about their dealings with addiction and just going through that dark period of their careers and stuff. So, yeah, it's very enlightening. They talk about the match with Shane at King of the Ring where they have the crazy match where they, you know, he's like, oh, I broke my tailbone right here. And he's like, yeah, he's like, man, I can barely walk. He is, you know, he's, and then, you know, they go through busting Shane through the glass and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a really good interview. It's probably about an hour and a half interview.
I believe they said season 3 of Dark Side of the Ring should be coming. When they say when, but I think Eric Bischoff said he was interviewed for it. So be on the lookout for that.
Okay. They need to do Kerry Von Erich, man.
I know they was talking about Pillman, and I forgot the WCW North Korea pay-per-view. Something like that back in 95, I believe. They went over there for that.
They went to North Korea with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's he was interviewed for those two. So they said they don't know whatever topics they're going to talk about, but that's what Eric Bischoff said he was interviewed for.
Yeah, they got it. They got to do Kerry Von Erich, though. I mean,
they did that whole family.
They did one on the whole family, but they need to do one specifically just on Kerry, though. Because, I mean, the man wrestled in WWE with like a fake foot.
Did you ever see that world class documentary? Not the one that WWE did, but the one that like
the one that World Class did. Yeah,
yeah, it's called Heroes of World Class. I think. Yeah,
it's got Gary Hart in it.
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah. Like I have like the extended director's version, and there's like an extra 30 minutes. It, like of like outtake, not outtakes, but like deleted interviews.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, one more thing. I guess with this title exchange, the Street Profits become the second WWE Triple Crown Tag Team Champions in history, which is...
So that means Angelo Dawkins is going to go to the Hall of Fame one day?
Hey, I'm telling you, he gonna be the man. I'm telling you. Yeah, he might go through that barbershop window, but he gonna rise.
Yeah, he can go through the barbershop window and then tag team with Billy Kay. Oh,
God. And then I guess they pulled last night, they pulled Retribution's segment.
Way to go, Vince. Got the hottest thing that you've done in the last like 3 weeks, month, and then when everybody's going to tune in to kind of see like what's next, you don't have them on TV. Okay.
Joey Ryan suing Impact because C. Phil Stoney didn't have his back during the whole speak out allegations.
Oh my God.
He was in a tag team called Cancel Culture.
And I guess they're looking for Braun Strowman and Lars Sullivan to have a big feud down the road.
I don't want to see that, but okay.
I don't want to see anything involving Lars Sullivan.
Well, Braun Strowman got he wrestling Roman on Friday for the title, and then he's wrestling Keith Lee on the Raw season premiere. So
he's looking a lot smaller these days.
He has. He has lost weight.
Oh, he's lost weight, and I think they took the lifts out of his shoes.
So here's the thing I want to ask y'all. Why do you think they excluded NXT from this draft this year? Because last year they had NXT there, and we got some moves going on. Now this year it was like NXT wasn't even
probably up on the radar. Move anywhere.
Like I told you last week, there's only a couple of people Vince wanted, and he got them. He got Dijakovic, and he got Keith Lee. Everybody else is too small.
Or they hurt.
Yeah. So, I mean, Karrion Kross would have probably been one of the guys on his radar. He's got the size. But everybody else is really small. Unless they go to SmackDown, they're not going to really flourish because, you know, they can't wrestle the way that they do on NXT unless you go to SmackDown. Raw is all about talking and having personality and, you know, big persona. Whereas SmackDown, you know, is more the show where if you're a little bit lacking on the personality and the mic skills, you can get over by just being a good wrestler.
Right. That's fun.
So at this time, Mr. Samuel Kalunga, I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Not many shout-outs. Just thank you, Don, Mo, for having me on here again. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, thank you for coming out, sir. Hope to have you back on as much as your schedule allows and get you back in the groove and let you take over and do your, you know, Rawcast notes as only you know how to do it if you feel like doing that.
I thought Mo here was doing that. That's why I was like, well, I don't want to step on anybody's
toe. Oh, no. I mean, I love when you come out talking about somebody cutting a boring 20-minute promo. Yeah. It's like, I missed that.
Yeah, so, you know, you show up again next week. We'll hand over the notepad to you, and you can walk us through.
Hey, now I have to not fast forward. Stuff.
He has to actually watch things to be like.
Actually, have to watch the entire 3 hours.
He can't sit there and say,
I was just watching just casually.
He's out chiming, like, no, you want to actually. He's like, damn it. I thought I got away.
All right, Mr. Mo, to the _ Reeser, your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to Sam. Thanks to coming through. It's always great to have you on here. Dawn, another good week, another episode. Shout out to everybody who's in the hashtag with us. Missimi, J to the Max, Anwar, everybody else who's here on the network. Everybody else who's... Yo, shout out to What Sleep, though. She was getting people out the gate. Gathering people. People was trying to be funny and everything.
It wasn't about, because like she was responding to a deleted tweet, and I'm like, I didn't get to see the deleted tweet.
So I guess it was somebody said something, and it was like they posted, WWE posted something, and the person responded to it, and she just was just just on it. Yeah, it was something like,
yeah, because they already been deleted by the time I looked at it.
Right, they deleted it. I was like, damn, I wanted to see what they said, but
because she was really going in.
She don't play at all. But shout out to everybody who be there, Jupiter Julep. Anybody who's just been there, my homie Word Explain. Everybody who's there, Miss Cammy D. I was trying to get some new faces because they was doing the Fine Women Who Watch Wrestling hashtags. I was trying to get some ladies to come over there and join us, but you know, but just shout out to everybody who be joining us, new faces, old faces, returning faces, things like that. That's it.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Samuel Kalunga for joining us. Always good to talk to you. Get your commentary with color on all things WWE, SmackDown, and Monday Night Raw. Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, thank you once again, sir, for joining me on the Rawcast. Thank you for everybody for listening and enduring a little bit of SmackDown matters as well. Thank you to Miss J to the Max. We didn't talk this week, and the Bears lost. So see how that works, folks? give a shout out to Jupiter Julep, Madame Lizette, and what Sleep Dough. It's okay. Y'all don't, you know, see it for Toni Storm or Eva Marie, but I still love y'all.
Wow.
So all the members of the GLOW, thank y'all for always rocking with us. Continue to support the show. Go over to the Patreon page. Listen to the Dark Match that featured Mr. Mo to the _ Reese and Miss Simi. Shout out to Miss Simi as we talk about AEW Dynamite. Give a shout out to Mr. Anwar Starwin. I'm going to be talking with him very soon about a whole bunch of matches from the G1. So we're going to probably try to round up a guest for that show as well so we can have some extra voice there to tune in for that. Shout out to Miss Didi Jonet, Greg, Classic, and everybody who joins us each and every week in the hashtags. Please continue to use the hashtags Rawcast, NXTcast, DynamiteCast, each and every week, SmackDown Matters as well, to share your commentary with color. So for our special guest, Mr. Samuel Kalunga and Mr. Mo to the _ Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been the Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Big dog! What's it gonna be, Oos? What's the stipulation to a Hell in a Cell match, Oos? Yeah, you're not gonna come out. I get it, on your own terms, but Roman, like you said, there will be consequences. I face them, I don't ever run from them. It's locked down with the Oos that got the dose. Welcome to the Oso!
Stop. Please, Jay, stop embarrassing yourself and more importantly, your entire family with this foolish attempt to dictate the time and location of the appearance of the Universal Champion. That's at the discretion and the leisure and the convenience of the champ.
Your uncle used to say that in this business, believe nothing that you hear and only half of what you see. But what you just saw, you can believe that. Your life better. All you had to do, say the words, acknowledge me as your tribal chief. So now, for the first time, inside Hell in a Cell, there will be an I Quit match. Didn't have to be like this. I just quit. There will be consequences. Thank you.